भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
I'll just mark the attendance. We start the class. The attendance, I'll just mark it because some of the devotees' names I don't know. So, Padmini Mataji is. Usha Sharma Mataji. Mohini Preeti Mataji. Madhav Priya Mata. Devadat Prabhu is there? Rajhamsa Prabhu is not there. Sitaram Prabhu is come. Ramchandra Prasad. Gaur Sundar Dev Prabhu. Vrishni Rani Mataji is
coming.
May Rani Prabhu is not coming. Subhash Shukla Prabhu. Vaishali Subhash Shukla Mataji. Mataji, Vaishali Subhash Shukla. Sachin Mahant Prabhu. Is there somebody? Aruna Sagar. Anybody is there? Abhay, yeah? Aruna Sagar. Subhadra Rupa Mataji. Subhadra Rupa Radha Jeevani Mataji. But I just wanted to know, some people registered and they did not come last week, this week. Is there anybody called Radhika Mati Mataji? Radhika Mati. Okay. Ninad Kambli. Anand Sindhu Prabhu. Rasik Mukund Prabhu. Prem Nam. I don't know whether it's Prabhuji or Mataji. Prem Nam. Murari Devi Dasi.
She says she's coming.
Vrajpati Prabhu is there. Okay. If anybody were not registered, you can give the names after the class. I'll just note down.
And those who have not filled the application form, they also.
And that sheet is also there. No?
Huh. Application.
Yeah.
Registration.
Those who did not come last week, we had distributed some declaration form that others can collect it at the end of the class. And fill it up and give immediately at the end of the class. So, last week we started with the 6th chapter of the 11th canto. The 6th chapter is entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabha Kshetra. So we discussed it till, everybody knows which verse number?
32.
So in this sixth chapter, the sixth chapter began with the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with their associates. They came from the heavenly planets, the higher abodes, and they came with a desire to take darshan of Krishna. And when they came, they brought a beautiful garland from the gardens of heavenly planets, and they offered that garland. And they started glorifying the Lord with words which contained charming ideas and charming words. With beautiful prayers filled with charming ideas and charming, pleasing words, they glorified the Lord. And they offered beautiful prayers, 13 or 14 verses, contain the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna. We discussed those prayers in detail, how initially they became astonished by seeing the form of the Lord. They offered dandavat, and then they talked about they spoke some verses in humor, saying that the garland which we brought, by seeing that garland, Lakshmi Devi might become jealous, saying that, oh, who is this other co-wife who is also residing in the chest of my Supreme Lord? But we hope, but we have faith that you will not actually reject our garland, and you will be more merciful to us, and you will not pay attention to Lakshmi Devi. And then they offered beautiful prayers regarding how Krishna is the supreme controller and he is the source of Mahavishnu, and they also differentiated between Krishna and the yogis. Then after glorifying Lord Krishna in these prayers, then Brahma and other demigods, they told Krishna that the purpose for which you appeared in this world, that has been accomplished. Now, if you so desire, you may return to the, your abode in the spiritual world. Then when Lord Brahma spoke those verses, so then Lord Krishna starts speaking. We saw few of the verses. We discussed till 33, na? We discussed till the thing. So then Lord told Lord Brahma, Krishna told Brahma that I have executed everything that was required on your behalf, but the Yadava dynasty in which I have appeared, that Yadava dynasty is causing a great burden. So therefore I have stopped the Yadava dynasty, just like a shore actually stops the ocean. And if I leave this planet Earth without withdrawing the Yadava dynasty from the planet Earth, then the whole world will be destroyed by the deluge of their ultimate unlimited expansion. So then Lord Krishna said that very soon Yadava dynasty will be destroyed by the curse of the Brahmanas. Then after that I will also disappear from this world. And then on my way to the spiritual world, I will pay a short visit to your abode. So in this way, Lord Krishna says. Then after that, Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking. We had we completed till the 31st verse, na? 31st we have completed, yeah. We'll start from the 32nd verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha. इत्युक्तो लोकनाथेन स्वयंभू प्रणिपत्यतम् सह देवगणैर्देव स्वधाम समपद्यत.
Thus addressed by the Lord of the universe, the self-born Brahma fell down in obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Surrounded by all the demigods, the great Brahma then returned to his personal abode.
So then all the demigods, they returned to the personal abode. So at that time, Krishna started seeing many evil omens. It is described that maho utpatan, serious disturbances. So Lord Krishna started seeing all these evil omens, and then he spoke to all the senior leaders of the Yadu dynasty. So then from the 34 to 38th verse, in these 5 verses, Lord Krishna instructs the leaders of the Yadu dynasty on seeing this great terrible evil omens. 34th verse will recite. श्री भगवान उवाच एते वैसु महोत्पाता युत्तिष्ठान्तीह सर्वतः
युत्तिष्ठान्तीह सर्वतः
शापश्च न कुलस्यासीत् ब्राह्मणेभ्यो दुरत्ययः
ब्राह्मणेभ्यो दुरत्ययः
and thus great disturbances are separating everywhere around us. Are appearing everywhere around us.
So, actually, if you see, there is something called as Nimitta Shastra. Nimitta Shastra means that scripture which talks about the good and bad omens. So, many times people think that this kind of good and bad omens are there, simply some superstition. But there is actually science behind it. If you understand why these good and bad omens are there, is that the Krishna and the demigods who award the different reactions to people, they are so gentlemanly that before a person gets a particular bad reaction, they give indication through this through these omens. So there is we can see the attitude of these people, so that they are trying to caution that very soon you are going to get some bad reaction, so be prepared for that. And even when they are going to get some good reaction also, they give some good signs indicating in the future you are going to get some good reaction. So basically, when there is a conditioned soul, he gets carried away by some sudden happiness, or he gets carried away by some sudden distress. He gets elated, or becomes morose. So just so that the conditioned soul he doesn't get carried away by these emotions, so that he can actually focus, he can prepare for those, whether good or bad events. So these indications are given. So this shows actually the gentlemanly nature of the demigods and the Supreme Lord. And we see, even when Krishna was studying in the school of Sandipani Muni, Krishna learnt different arts. One of the things which he learnt from Sandipani Muni is Nimitta Shastra, the science of good and bad omens. And even Arjuna was also learned in this science. Like in the first chapter of the Gita, when Arjuna says, Nacha shaknom avasthatum brahmati vachame manah nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. Say that my hairs are standing on end, my mouth is actually drying up. Nacha shaknom avasthatum brahmati vachame manah. And all these different signs indicate something evil is going to happen. So in that way, even Arjuna was also learned in that science. And it is described that in the Mahabharata, Vyasadeva mentions that he actually predicts the battle of Kurukshetra. In the Vyasadeva, he tells in a succession in the Mahabharata that usually, like in a month, there are two pakshas. One paksha is 15 days, another paksha is 15 days. But sometimes the paksha actually reduces to 14 days. But in very, very rare occasion, sometimes one paksha reduces to 13 days. And that happened before the battle of Kurukshetra. So Vyasadeva mentions in Mahabharata, I have seen 14 days in a paksha, and I have seen 15 days in a paksha, and you even seen that one paksha lasting for 16 days. But never before have I seen an amavasya falling on the 13th day. And that too was during the same month when there were eclipses of both the sun and the moon falling during the missing tithis. And by this, Vyasadeva mentions, this indicates that there is going to be a great amount of destruction, this because of this paksha falling on only 13 days, and the same month the two eclipses are coming. by that he is thinking that it is going to is an indication of great destruction. And the same thing was also a similar observation was also made by Krishna before the fratricidal war which happened between the Yadus. He also observed a similar woman, although the details are not mentioned. Just a word uses Su Maha Utpata, very great disturbances. He also observed similar bad omens, and so by seeing that, so Krishna is addressing these the family members of Yadu dynasty. So in that sense, this is actually great science, the science of good and bad omens. So then Krishna says, Na vastavyam ihasmabir,
na vastavyam ihasmabir,
jiji vishubirarayaka,
jiji vishubirarayaka,
pravasam sumahatpunyam,
pravasam sumahatpunyam,
yasyamo adyaiva machiram,
yasyamo adyaiva machiram.
My dear respected elders, we must not remain any longer in this place. If we wish to keep our lives intact, let us go this very day to the most auspicious place, Pravasa. We have no time to delay.
So Krishna is saying that our dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmanas, and this curse is very difficult to overcome. So therefore, the disturbances are appearing everywhere. And in these five verses, essentially what he says is that we should not remain in Dwaraka any longer. We should go to Prabhasa Kshetra, and we should go there and perform pious activities there. We should give charity to the Brahmanas. We should perform pious activities in order to counteract this bad effects of this curse by the Brahmanas. And then he tells the glories of Prabhasa Kshetra in 2-3 verses in order to inspire them to go to Prabhasa Kshetra. So here, okay, this has a long purport. So here he is mentioning that let us not delay even a single moment. Let us go immediately to Prabhasa Kshetra, and we have no time to delay. Adhyaiva machiram, without any delay. So one thing we see that whenever in the Bhagavatam different purports come, whenever there is some offense has been committed, usually it is mentioned that one should immediately atone for it. In the fifth canto, there is a Prabhupada writes in a purport that Raghuvan Maharaj offended Jadabharat, but as soon as he realized his offense, immediately he fell down from the palanquin. He came down from the palanquin and immediately offered obeisances to Jadabharat, and then he atoned for that offense. So because he immediately atoned for that offense, so he didn't get the reaction. So Krishna is also mentioning that let us not delay even a single moment. So here, Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur explained, in this purport is explained that the Acharyas explained two reasons for Krishna telling the Yadus to go out of the Dwaraka. In the first two paragraph, he mentions two reasons. So the first reason is that when Krishna appeared along with the different members of Yadu dynasty, there were different some of the associates of Krishna were Nitya Siddha associates from the spiritual world, and some were Sadhana Siddhas, in the sense like when a devotee becomes pure, when he becomes advanced, before the devotee goes back to the spiritual world, he is sent to a particular planet within the material universe where Krishna performs pastimes for further training before sending the devotee back to the spiritual world. So some of the associates of Krishna were actually like those pure devotees. In order to become more perfect in the devotional service, they appeared in Dwaraka. And some of them were like demigods from the heavenly planets. They were also advanced devotees. They actually appeared in the Dwaraka. So, when now when Krishna is returning, now the Nityasada associates will go back to the spiritual world. But these demigods who appeared from the heavenly planets, they have to again go back to the heavenly planets in order to resume their duties. So Krishna felt that I have to send all these demigods back to their abodes in the heavenly planets, because only after the tenure gets over, then they can go to the spiritual world. If they leave their body in Dwaraka, so then because Dwaraka is my eternal abode, if they leave their body in Dwaraka, after leaving their body in Dwaraka, they cannot go to the heavenly planets. So they have to leave their body outside Dwaraka. So for that reason, Krishna actually is taking these devotees outside Dwaraka. In fact, one place, the 10th canto in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Vishnu Chakradar explains in a purport. He quotes a Vedanta Sutra and he says, Yavad Adhikaram Avistitir Adhikarikanam. That means, authorities should fulfill the duties of their post as long as they are assigned. So when Brahmaji realized the mistake of how he stole the calves and the cowherd boys, he wanted to actually, he came down immediately and he offered a series of beautiful prayers, the 40 prayers in the 10th canto. So then, towards the end of the prayer, Brahmaji, he just wanted to take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan or in the outskirts of Vrindavan, so that he can be trampled by the residents of Vrindavan. So when he was offering that prayer, but Krishna was not responding anything. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains why Krishna did not respond. Because Krishna wanted Brahmaji to continue in his tenure and not suddenly take a retirement and come to Vrindavan. So that is why Krishna remained silent. So Brahma understood by Krishna's silence, he could understand, oh, Krishna is wanting me to go back to Satyaloka and continue my tenure. So in that connection, Vishnu Chakravarti quotes this verse, authority should fulfill the duties of their post as long as they are assigned. So thus it is understood that after fulfilling his responsibility in the post of Brahma, then Brahma would attain his desired goal of residence in Vrindavan. So similarly, Krishna wanted the demigods to actually complete their tenure. So therefore, Krishna is taking the demigods away out of Dwaraka. Because if they leave their body in Dwaraka, then they have to go back to the spiritual world. So that is the first reason which is explained. The second reason why Krishna took the Yadavas outside of Dwaraka is that because Dwaraka is supremely auspicious. And even an imitation of inauspiciousness cannot happen in Dwaraka. Such as the fratricidal war between the family members, it cannot happen in Dwaraka. So therefore, Krishna's pastime of removing the Yadu dynasty is ultimately auspicious, but since it outwardly appeared inauspicious, so Krishna did not want this pastime. It's ultimately auspicious, but he did not want this pastime which outwardly appears inauspicious to happen in Dwaraka. So therefore Krishna took the Yadavas outside Dwaraka. And he is taking to Prabhashetra. And he will give the reasons, he will tell about the glories of Prabhashetra in next few verses. And the purport, Hridayananda Maharaj also quotes Madhvacharya. And he gives a description of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives a description of Prabhashetra, where Prabhasa is actually there. There is a railway station called Veraval Railway Station, and then he mentions that even we can see, like, I think 6-7 years back we had gone, there's a place where the hunter Jara shot arrow at Krishna, that place is there. And the place where Krishna spoke Uddhav Gita, that's also there. So all those places are there. So when in the Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnay, Madhvacharya has given, he has mentioned three reasons for this Maushal Leela pastime. So So Mausha Leela is the pastime of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna. But Madhvacharya has explained three reasons why Krishna performed this pastime in this manner. How he arranged for the fratricidal war and how the way Krishna left this world as if like he was killed by hunter Jara and then left behind some mortal body and then left from this world. So the first reason he explains is that Krishna, he performed this pastime in this manner in order to bewilder the demons. In order to bewilder the demons and end, so that the Kali Yuga can begin. Because we discussed that at the 11th canto, 30th chapter, Vishnu Chakravarti gives a long purport about this Mausha Leela. We discussed that more, but I am just telling in briefly now. The first reason is that in order to bewilder the demon so that Kali Yuga can begin. And second reason is that in order to maintain the curse of the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas had cursed that Yadu dynasty will be actually annihilated by this. If you know the story, that once the Yadu Kumaras, they went to which place? Prabhasa only or? They went to a place where a group of sages were there, and they were in a frivolous manner. They started asking questions to the sages. One of the Yadu Kumaras, Samba, was dressed like a pregnant woman. The other Yadu Kumaras, they asked the sages, "Can you please tell us that whom is this lady will she give birth to, a male child or a female child?" The sages could understand they are actually trying to make a mockery out of us. And they said, because you are frivolous in nature, you are actually not respectful to us. She will give birth to an iron club, and that will be the cause of the destruction of your whole dynasty. And then as soon as they cursed that, they came to their senses. And then they immediately begged forgiveness, but then Samba, when they removed the dress, immediately iron club came out. And then they brought that iron club to actually Dwaraka, and they reported that to actually Ugrasen. So Ugrasen Maharaj, he immediately made that iron, he made it into a powder. And most of the iron club became a powder, and there's a small piece of iron club remained. And they went and they threw that powder and the small piece of iron club into the ocean. So, thinking that, oh, let us actually somehow avoid this curse. This is going to be the cause of the destruction of a dynasty. So, let us actually throw this into the ocean. They made it into powder and threw it in the ocean. But then, of course, the story goes that the powdered iron clouds that was actually driven away by the ocean waves. And from that grew into some group of plants or canes. And from that, some intoxicant was actually prepared. Later when all these Yadu dynasty people, when they go to Prabhashetra, and they would drink intoxicant made out of those plants which actually grew from the powdered iron. And in that intoxication, they actually killed each other. And the one piece of iron which remained, that would be swallowed by a fish. And that fish was actually caught by a fisherman. And the fisherman, when he caught the fish, and then when he cut open that fish, and then he saw this iron club, and he thought it is useless, and he gave it to some hunter Jara. And that hunter Jara made that iron club in the form of an arrow, and with that arrow he actually shot Krishna, and then Krishna apparently left behind a body and then went back to the spiritual world. So like that the story goes. So the second reason is that Krishna wanted to ensure that the word of his own devotees and the Brahmanas be maintained. The second reason given by Madhvacharya. And the third reason is very interesting. The third reason is in order to show mercy to Bhrigumuni. Because Bhrigumuni, you know that story that Bhrigumuni, the sages at the bank of Saraswati, they wanted to find out who is the supreme among the three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. And they appointed Bhrigumuni to test who is the supreme among the three. Bhrigumuni went to Brahma, he offended him mentally, But Brahmaji became angry, but somehow he controlled his anger, and then he affronted Lord Shiva with sharp words. Lord Shiva became angry, he was about to kill Bhrigumuni, and then he was pacified by Saraswati. And then when he came to Lord Vishnu, he offended by kicking at Lord Vishnu. So in one sense, Bhrigumuni, although he committed the highest offense, the offenses committed with body, mind and words, out of that the highest offenses, offenses committed with the body, that is the highest offense. So, but still Bhrigumuni's act of kicking at the body of Lord Vishnu was not considered as an offense, because the reason was that Bhrigumuni simply wanted to test who is the best among the three personalities. So the essence of the offense is not the activity, but the attitude with which a person performs an activity. The attitude of trying to bring a person down, that actually determines the offense. So Bhrigumuni, he did not have a hatred towards Vishnu. He simply wanted to know who is the supreme among the three personalities. So therefore, his act of kicking at Vishnu was not nonsense, not considered an offense. Just like we say that devotional service is not an activity which incidentally pleases Krishna, but it's an activity which is intended to please Krishna. So similarly, offense is not an activity which incidentally displeases Krishna or his devotees, but that which is intended to hurt a person, which is intended to bring a person down. That is the definition of an offense. So although Bhrigumuni's act was not considered as an offense, but Bhrigumuni, by seeing the response of Vishnu, he could understand he the Supreme Personality of God. Because the way Lord Vishnu responded, in that connection Prabhupada writes that famous statement. You know that famous statement?
The greatness of the person. Huh. The best is not by tolerating the provoking.
The greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Prabhupada writes this statement in the Krishna book in this pastime. So when Bhrigumuni understood that, but he, after understanding the supreme position of Vishnu, he became remorseful. Although from the point of view of the Lord, he didn't consider it as an offense because he didn't have that offensive attitude. But from the point of view of Bhrigumuni, from the point of view of a devotee, he doesn't say that, oh, ultimately I had the right attitude. But he felt very remorseful that I actually kicked at the body of Lord Vishnu. So in order to actually atone for that offense, he felt as an offense, he actually took birth as a hunter Jara. He took birth in a low family. So, but even though, so Bhrigumuni became a great devotee of the Lord, but in when the nature of the Lord is that even if a great devotee, if he takes birth in a low family, the Lord cannot tolerate that. Lord cannot tolerate the downfall of a devotee. So Lord wants the devotee to actually to be reinstated in his original position. He wants a devotee, he wants to deliver the devotee. So Bhrigumuni, in order to atone for that act, he took birth as Jara. But Lord Krishna, he couldn't tolerate that. He wanted to send Bhrigumuni to spiritual birth. So therefore, Lord Krishna arranged for him to leave from this world by the act of Jara actually shooting at him. So Jara, he was looking for a deer, and he saw Lord Krishna lying down. By seeing that beautiful lotus feet, pinkish lotus feet of the Lord, he thought it to be a deer, and then he shot an arrow. And then when he came close, he thought that he realized that I have shot an arrow at the Supreme Personality of God. So Lord Krishna arranged for this act so that in order to make hunter Jara very remorseful, and in that remorse he will leave his body, and so that he can send him back to the spiritual world. So that is the actually Krishna wanted to make him remorseful so that he can gain release from his degraded birth and go back to Vaikuntha Loka. So these are the three reasons which Madhvacharya gives for this Maushal Leela. And of course he explains that the personality of Godhead from his very appearance on the earth did not manifest any of the material qualities of ordinary human beings, and the Lord did not appear from the womb of his mother, rather by his inconceivable power, he descended into the maternity room. So this is this Maushal Leela, it should be understood that it is an illusory pastime. It is in order to please his devotee Bhrigu, in order to confuse the demons, and in order to maintain the curse of the Brahmanas, Krishna performed this Maushal Leela. And then Madhvacharya also explains that there is a place called as Bhrigu Teertha in Prabhashetra, which is manifested by Parashuram. So we can see this place is there. So then from the 36th to 38th verse, in three verses, Krishna gives speaks about the glories of Prabhashetra, and also he tells that what we should do when we go to Prabhashetra. Yatra snatva dakshashapat,
yatra snatva dakshashapat,
grihito yakshamanodurat,
grihito yakshamanodurat,
vimukta kilbishat sadyo,
vimukta kilbishat sadyo,
veje bhuyakalodayam,
veje bhuyakalodayam.
Once the moon was afflicted with consumption because of the curse of Daksha. But just by taking bath in Prabhas Kshetra, the moon was immediately freed from his sinful reaction and again resumed the waxing of his faces.
So Prajapati Daksha, he had given his daughters in marriage to moon god. But the moon god was showing favor only to Rohini constellation and ignored the other daughters. So at that time Daksha became angry with the moon god and cursed the moon god to suffer from consumption, which weighs the body away. So because of that, moon god did not bear any children. So that later moon god pacified Prajapati Daksha and regained the portions of light he had lost during his disease. This mentioned the 6th canto, 6th chapter in that. And Shukadeva Goswami gives a description of the dynasty of Daksha Prajapati through his daughters. So it is mentioned that moon god, by taking bath in Prabhashetra, he was freed from the sinful reactions and he resumed the waxing of his faces. And then you can read the translation of the next verse, 37-38.
By bathing at Prabhashetra, by offering sacrifice, there to placate the forefathers and demigods, by feeding the worshipable Brahmanas with various delicious foodstuffs, and by bestowing opulent gifts upon them as the most suitable candidates for charity, we will certainly cross over these terrible dangers through such acts of charity, just as one can cross over a great ocean in a suitable boat.
So here Krishna is mentioning that let us go to Prabhashetra and let her offer tarpan to Pitrus, Devatas, by feeding the worshipable Brahmanas, etc. And by that, we will be definitely able to cross over this terrible dangers. So we can see this principle that because they offended the Brahmanas, the atonement is again please the Brahmanas. Just like Mahaprabhu said, if you had blasphemed a Vaishnava, with the same mouth, you should actually glorify the Vaishnava. Ajiva Goswami gives the example that suppose if a person has committed an Vaishnava aparat, that it is not that if you do some extra deity worship, that aparat will be gone. You have to please that same Vaishnava. If there is a thorn in the foot, says that you should not look for the thorn in the shoulder. You have to look for the thorn in the foot only. So similarly, because they offended the Brahmanas, you go and please the Brahmanas. And Prabhupada in the third canto, when Uddhava was remembering the same incident and when he was explaining the same incident to Vidura, he talks about the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. So there Prabhupada writes the purport. He says that there are different divisions of devotees, Nitya Siddhas and Sadhana Siddhas. And in Sadhana Siddhas, there are two types, the pure devotees and mixed devotees. And then he says, in the Sadhana Siddhas, those who are mixed devotees, they are sometimes enthusiastic about fruitive activities and are habituated to philosophical speculation. And the pure devotees are free from all these mixtures and are completely absorbed in the service of the Lord, regardless of how and where they are situated. And he mentions a beautiful point, that pure devotees of the Lord, they are not enthusiastic to put aside their service in order to go to the holy place of pilgrimage. Means like there is a service, they would not just leave that service just to go for a yatra. Sometimes like the mood of going yatra is just to take a break or something, not in the mood of service. So Prabhupada writes, and he quotes even Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan, to visit the holy place of pilgrimage is another bewilderment of the mind, because devotional service to the Lord at any place is the last word in spiritual perfection. So even visiting holy places can also be, in one sense, it can be maya, in the sense if we are not in the proper mood. As in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explained that Kaviraj Goswami gives a list of devotees, Prabhupada gives a list of devotees who have never visited Vrindavan, like Gadadhar Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani herself. Some of these devotees, they never visited Vrindavan, but they were always observed themselves.
So,
huh.
Prabhupada said that
I would have not left, you would have not got me. So, now Shukadeva Goswami starts speaking. So, now this is the starting of the Uddhava Gita. So, basically, if we see the similarity between Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita is that both the Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita, both actually started in a when there was a crisis. In the case of Arjuna, he wanted to avoid a fratricidal war. In the case of Uddhava Gita, Uddhava was actually knowing that a fratricidal war is going to happen and the Yadu dynasty is going to be destroyed and which cannot be stopped. And Uddhava, so at that time he becomes like bewildered. All the Yadu dynasty is going to be destroyed and Krishna is also going to be disappear from this world. So at this time actually Uddhava is approaching Krishna. In that sense, like both of them start at a time of crisis. Can you read the translation? 39th verse.
Sukhdev Goswami said, O favorite son of Kurus, thus advised by the personality of Godhead, the Yadavas made up their minds to go to that holy place, Prabhash Kshetra, and thus yoked their horses to their chariots.
So next to us. Tannirikshyodhavo Rajan.
Tannirikshyodhavo Rajan.
Shrutva Bhagavatoditam.
Shrutva Bhagavatoditam.
Drishtva Rishtani Gorani.
Drishtva Rishtani Gorani.
Nityam Krishnam Anuvratah.
Nityam Krishnam Anuvratah.
Vivikta Upasangamya.
Vivikta Upasangamya.
Jagatam Ishvareshwaram.
Jagatam Ishvareshwaram.
Pranamya Shirasapadau.
Pranamya Shirasapadau.
Pranjalistam Abhashata.
Pranjalistam Abhashata.
My dear King, Uddhava was a constantly faithful follower of Lord Krishna. Upon seeing the imminent departure of the Yadavas, hearing from them of the Lord's instruction and taking note of the fearful omen, he approached the personality of Godhead in a private place. He bowed down with his head at the lotus feet of the supreme controller of the universe and with the folded hand addressed him as follows.
So, what I'll do is, I was thinking, the first half an hour we'll have the test 10:30 to 11, and because I want to complete in each class some substantial portion, till 12:45 we'll have the class, and last 15 minutes we can have question answer, different comments, so that otherwise the course goes on for a indefinite time. So that, because we want to start other courses after Buddhavadin. So because I'll highlight, so in this 1.5 hour I will first we'll go through, so that substantial amount is covered, and then last 15 minutes we'll have the questions and comments. So just like if you see in Bhagavad Gita initially, like Arjuna observes the army, and then he actually speaks, and then Krishna starts speaking in the second chapter onwards. So in Uddhava Gita also Krishna actually starts speaking from the next chapter. So now seeing these bad omens, and like Uddhava is actually hearing this conversation between Krishna and the demigods. It is explained that Shrutva Bhagavatoditam. So Uddhava heard the conversation between Krishna and the Yadu dynasty and the demigods, and Drishtva Arishtani Gorani means like he saw all these terrible bad omens, Arishtani Gorani, fearful evil omens. So then he approached Krishna. So now Uddhava will speak from the 42nd verse onwards till the end of this chapter, and then Krishna will start replying from the next chapter. So what is the nature of Krishna, Uddhava? Nityam Krishnam Anuvrataha. He was a constant follower of Krishna. Anuvrata means he would follow Krishna as a performing like a vrata, as a determined vrata. Nityam Krishnam Anuvrataha. Vivikta Upasangamya. Vivikta means in a private place he approached Krishna. Jagatam Ishvareshwaram. He offered obeisances, pranamya shirasa padav, pranjalis tam abhashata. With folded hands he spoke to Krishna. So here Jiva Goswami explains, actually there cannot be any disturbance in the Lord's abode. But the disturbances created, which appeared in the Lord's abode, it was only created by the Lord. It was an external show created by the Lord to facilitate his pastimes. Then he explains that Lord Krishna is not a mundane historical figure, and his activities cannot be confined within the tiny limits of material logic. And Lord Krishna's pastimes are an exhibition of his achintya shakti or inconceivable potency, which functions according to higher spiritual laws unknown to the blind conditioned souls and their petty material logic. So if we see that this concept comes again and again, that how Lord Krishna's pastimes are actually beyond petty material logic. One article I was reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that logic should be used as a minister and not as a master. Sometimes and people make logic as the god, and then they become actually frustrated when they make logic as the ultimate worshipable god. And some scientists, they come to the conclusion, when they make reason or the logic as the ultimate worshipable god, they come to the conclusion, oh, ultimately everything is made of chemicals. Then one scientist, he comes to a conclusion that, so then the only philosophical question which we are supposed to ask is whether we should commit suicide today or tomorrow. Because life is just, everything is a combination of chemicals. So that means like there is no purpose to the life. It's just a meaningless existence. The only philosophical question we should ask, like, whether to commit suicide today or tomorrow. So that is the result of making logic as a master. But logic should be made as a minister and not as a master. So now Uddhava starts speaking. So if we see that so Uddhava at this time of crisis is actually taking shelter of Krishna, and Krishna starts speaking philosophy. So usually whenever there is some crisis in our life, that gives an impetus for a person to seek the deeper meaning of life, to become more philosophical in life. And many times, sometimes people want to understand philosophy more for more as an intellectual exercise. But Krishna explains in the Gita, idam jnanam upashritya, idam jnanam upashritya, mama sadharnya magata sargepi nopajayante pralayena vyatanticha. He says that idam jnanam upashritya, many people, they took shelter of this knowledge and they attained perfection. This knowledge is not to be seen as an intellectual exercise, but it should be taken shelter of. So in this way Uddhava approaches, like in fact, one of the meaning of Uddhava Gita, which is given by the Acharyas, is also Hamsa Gita. Because in one of the Uddhava Gita, one of the section is that the instructions of Hamsa Avatar to the four Kumaras. I think four Kumaras or four Kumaras. So the Hamsa Avatar's instructions are, so therefore it is also called as Hamsa Gita. So Uddhava starts speaking. Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Shri Uddhava Uvacha,
Deva Devesha Yogesha,
Deva Devesha Yogesha,
Punya Shravana Kirtana,
Punya Shravana Kirtana,
Samhrityaitat Kulam Nunam,
Samhrityaitat Kulam Nunam,
Lokam Santyakshyate Bhavan,
Lokam Santyakshyate Bhavan,
Viprashapam Samartopi,
Viprashapam Samartopi,
Pratyahan Nayadishwarah,
Pratyahan Nayadishwarah.
Shri Uddhava said, O my Lord, O Supreme God, among all the demigods, real piety is invoked simply by hearing and chanting your transcendental glories. My Lord, it appears that you will now withdraw your dynasty and thus you yourself will finally give up your pastimes within this universe. You are the supreme controller and the master of all mystic power. But although you are fully capable of contracting the Brahmana's curse against your dynasty, you are not doing so and your disappearance is imminent.
So here, although Krishna spoke to all the members of the Yadu dynasty that we should go to Prabhasa Kshetra, but Uddhava understood the thoughts of Krishna. So in that purport, the thoughts of Krishna were explained, the three reasons why Krishna wanted to perform this Moksha Leela which you described. But although he did not reveal those thoughts to the Yadu dynasty, but Uddhava could understand. So Uddhava is explaining this verse. So in this verse, Uddhava is addressing Krishna by three words: Deva Devesha Yogesha and Punya Shravana Kirtana. So by this, addressing Krishna by these three words, he is actually mentioning the three purposes of the Lord to appear in this world. By addressing Deva Devesha, he is mentioning that you have accomplished what Brahma and others requested, because you are the Lord of the Devatas, so appeared in this world in order to actually carry out the request of the Brahma and the demigods. And then he says that Yogesha, but you did not come to this world just to fulfill their purpose, just to fulfill their request, but you also came to this world in order to give joy to your devotees by revealing your inconceivable variegated form, qualities and pastimes filled with rasa. So therefore, you are the Lord of Yoga Maya. So when he is mentioning Yogesha, Yogesha means that you are the Lord of Yoga Maya. So you are not only appeared to fulfill the request of the demigods, but you actually appeared to give joy to your devotees by revealing your inconceivable form, qualities, pastimes, etc. And then he says that, but you not only you appeared in this world to fulfill the request of the demigods and to give joy to your devotees, but you also appeared in this world in order to deliver all the future generations. Because when you appeared in this world, you performed such wonderful pastimes that anybody in the future, if he hears these pastimes, by that all people in the future generation will be delivered. So therefore he is addressing Krishna by the word Punya Shravana Kirtana. O Lord, whose glories by being sung are heard purify everyone. So in this way, Uddhava is addressing Krishna. So, so here Uddhava is thinking that you have actually instructed the Yadavas to go to Prabhakshetra to take bath there and to serve the Brahmanas in order to counteract the curse of the Brahmanas. But actually, they are having direct darshan of you. How can going to holy place and taking bath be superior to taking having direct darshan of you? So this is the first question which Uddhava had. You are telling them to actually go there to perform piety, but they are performing the highest pious activity by taking direct darshan of you. And secondly, Uddhava, second thought which Uddhava is having is that actually therefore, since you are telling them to go to Prabhakshetra to take bath there, that means you are having some other purpose. It is not that because they are performing the highest pious activity by taking darshan of you, but when you are telling them to go there, that means you must be having some other purpose. And the second thing which is having second thought which is having is that actually you yourself have the full power to counteract the curse of the Brahmanas, but you are not doing that. So that shows that you are preparing to leave from this world. That shows that you are actually arranging for the annihilation of the other dynasty, and you are preparing to leave from this world. So Uddhava could understand these things from the Krishna's words, but the other Yadavas, they did not actually understand. They actually nonsense. They said yes. So let us go to Prabhashet, and they immediately went to Prabhashet. So in that sense, so that is the difference between Uddhava and the other Yadavas. So the other Yadavas, they were all faithful to Krishna, but they did not think deeply on why Krishna is saying this. We can take the lesson. Other Yadavas were faithful, but they were not thoughtful. But Uddhava is Nityam Krishna Manuvrata, but the constant follower of Krishna, but he was thinking deeply about why Krishna spoke this verse, and then he is coming to the conclusion, so Krishna must be preparing to leave from this world by hearing the same words. So this shows actually Uddhava is faithful and also thoughtful. So then Uddhava says, having understood that Krishna is going to leave from this universe, he speaks the next verse. Naham tavangri kamalam,
naham tavangri kamalam,
kshanardam api keshava,
kshanardam api keshava,
tyaktum samutsahe nata,
tyaktum samutsahe nata,
svadama nayamamapi,
svadama nayamamapi.
O Lord Keshava, my dear master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode.
So Uddhava is saying that please take me to your abode. I cannot tolerate separation from you even for a moment. So if you see actually if you see the psychology of a devotee, although Krishna is there everywhere in this world, he is situated as Paramatma everywhere, but still Krishna's presence in deity is far more than his presence as Paramatma everywhere, because Krishna's presence in the deity is in reciprocation with the surrender of his devotee. And even in the deity, Krishna's presence, we can have the picture of a deity as the photo of a deity, but Krishna's presence in actual Archa Vigraha is more than the picture, because the Archa Vigraha is worshipped with more rules and regulations than the photo. We may not worship with so many rules and regulations. So therefore Krishna's presence in the in the deity, his presence is manifested more as a deity than as a picture. And even in the case of a deity, Krishna's presence in the temple deity is more than in the house deity, because usually, or in the sense, the temple deity devotees worship with more detailed rules and regulations, with more care and attention, shodashopachara, etc. They do that. So Krishna is present in the temple deity is more than even the house deity. And although Lord is present in the material world as a deity, but still the scriptures urge us to actually return to the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, there are innumerable devotees that are worshipping the Lord with selfless love. So in that sense, there is a... So, in one sense, you may say, why Krishna, Uddhava is wanting to go to the spiritual world? Because when Krishna is there everywhere, in the holy place, Dwaraka is there, Krishna is there. But still, scriptures urge us there, because there is a gradation of Krishna's presence everywhere, in the picture as a deity, etc. So, so here, Hridayananda Maharaj writes that although Lord manifests within the material world his various abodes such as Vrindavan, Dwaraka and Mathura, and although these are certainly non-different from their counterparts in the spiritual world, the most advanced devotees, overwhelmed with the desire to personally serve the Lord, are very eager to go to the Lord's original spiritual planet. So this verse shows the urgency of Uddhava. So he explains that because of the great eagerness of the devotees, the Lord appears as a deity. The six Goswamis are always intensely eager to serve Radha and Krishna. So similarly, Uddhava is urging the Lord to take him to his own abode, so that Uddhava's personal service to the Lord will not be interrupted even for a moment. And then, the next paragraph, it's a beautiful paragraph. In this Uddhava Gita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has also commented, and Vishnu Chakravarti has commented. So, many times, Hridayananda Maharaj quotes the purports of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. If you have seen that, there's one separate book called as Uddhava Gita. That is, granting only the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary. So, here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, how Krishna is absolute truth in the beginning, middle and end. So many ordinary people, they say that Krishna was not able to protect the Yadu dynasty from the curse of the Brahmins. Ordinary people say like, but actually Uddhava's statement is actually correcting such unfortunate persons. So he says, it is Lord Krishna who awarded pious living entities birth in the Brahminical families. He only made them to take birth in the Brahminical families. And secondly, he only awarded them the potency to curse the Yadu dynasty. And thirdly, he only kept the curse intact, although he was capable of neutralizing it. So therefore, although ordinary people may say Krishna was not able to protect, therefore how can he be the Supreme Lord? But Acharyas are seeing from another angle. It is Krishna only who actually made them take birth. Krishna only gave them the potency to curse, and he only made the curse intact. So therefore, Krishna was the absolute truth in the beginning, middle, end, directly, indirectly, in the past, present and future. And he is completely transcendental to even the slightest touch of material illusion or importance. The same thing can be seen from an ordinary person in a particular way, how Krishna is incapable. And the Acharyas, they see from a different way. So next verse. Tava vikriditam Krishna.
Tava vikriditam Krishna.
Nrinam parama mangalam.
Nrinam parama mangalam.
Karna piyusham asadhya.
Karna piyusham asadhya.
Kyajan kyanyas priham jana.
Kyajan kyanyas priham jana.
My dear Krishna, your pastimes are supremely auspicious for mankind and are intoxicating beverage for the ears. Tasting such pastimes, people forget their desire for another things.
So here he is mentioning that when people hear your pastimes, they forget the desires for all other things. So in one sense, if we say the proof for taste for Krishna Katha or proof for taste in devotional service, we'll see always the symptom of a person having the taste in is that he is not attracted to something material. The 12th canto of this verse comes that Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Shri Bhagavata Ishyate Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Ratikochit. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedanta, Sarva Vedanta Saram hi. And one who has developed a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he is not attracted to any other literature. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains in that term, I think the five most important items of devotional service, says that one who actually enters the abode of Vrindavan or Mathura, he is not attracted to any other place, or he doesn't want to return to, he doesn't want to leave from that particular place. So in the Madhuri Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti says there are two primary symptoms of the stage of Ruchi. The first is that the impediments to chanting and hearing are no longer visible in the form of maybe hunger or fatigue. And second is that an insatiable appetite for even seemingly insignificant devotional practices awakens. These are two primary symptoms of taste. Insatiable appetite for even seemingly insignificant service and impediments to devotional service in the form of hunger and fatigue are no longer visible. So now Uddhava says, Shayasanata Nastana Snana Krida Shanadishu
Snana Krida Shanadishu
Katam Tvam Priyamatmanam
Katam Tvam Priyamatmanam
Vayam Bhaktasthya Jemahi
Vayam Bhaktasthya Jemahi.
My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Source and thus you are the most dear to us. We are your devotees and how can we possibly reject you or live without you even for a moment? Whether we are lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, enjoying recreation, eating or doing anything else, we are constantly engaged in your service.
So here Uddhava is saying that actually you are constantly engaged in your service, how can we actually leave your even for a moment? There is a similar verse which comes in first canto. Satsangan mukta dussangu hatum notsahate buddha kirtiyamanam yasho yasya sakrit akanya rochanam. Those who understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees have become freed from bad materialistic association. They can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord even though they have heard them only once. Then how could when Krishna was leaving the Pandavas to go to Dwaraka? So Sutta Goswami says, somebody who has heard the Krishna's glories even once, they can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord. Then how can the Pandavas tolerate his separation because they had been intimately associated with Krishna by seeing him face to face, conversing with him, sleeping with him, sitting with him, dining with him. So how could they actually tolerate separation from Krishna? Similar, Uddhava is also speaking here. Similar verse. So next verse. Tvayopabukta sraggandau
Tvayopabukta sraggandau
Vaso lankara charchita
Vaso lankara charchita
Uchishta bojinotasas
Uchishta bojinotasas
Tava mayam jayemahi
Tava mayam jayemahi.
So here, why Uddhava is speaking this verse is that Uddhava is saying that simply by taking your Mahaprasad in the form of your flower garlands or your clothes worn by you ornaments worn by you, we can easily conquer the illusory energy. Tava mayam jayema hi, we can indeed very easily conquer. So Uddhava is speaking this verse in order to actually clarify to Krishna, I am not approaching you for achieving liberation, because I can easily achieve liberation simply by accepting your Mahagarlands. Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse in the Nectar of Devotion, in one of the item of sadhana bhakti is accepting the flower garlands offered to the Lord. In that connection he quotes this verse. So next verse, 47th and 48th verse, so the theme of these three verses is 47, 46, 47, 48 is that 48, 49, these three verses, they speak how we can, we easily conquer illusory energy, how we can, we devotees can easily attain liberation simply by hearing and chanting or simply by accepting the flower garlands offered to you. And the 47th verse is a complete contrast. On the other hand, other people who do not take to your bhakti, who are yogis and jnanis, they have to struggle hard in order to attain liberation. So that is explained in the 47th verse. Vatavasanaya rishayaha Shramana urdhva mantinaha Brahmakyam dhamate yanti Shanta sanyasi nomala.
Naked sages who seriously endeavor in spiritual practice, who have raised their semen upward, who are peaceful and sinless members of the renounced order, attain the spiritual abode called Brahman.
So, Vata Vasana, like Vedic scriptures, even to they address somebody who does not wear any clothes in a more cultured manner by saying Vata Vasana, dressed by the air. Durvasa means like one who is dressed only by the four directions. So such naked sages who are strict observers of spiritual practices, Shramana, and who have observed celibacy strictly, Brahmakyam, they also attain the Brahma Jyoti, Brahmakyam Tamade Yanti, Shanta Sanyasino Mala. So they attain the spiritual abode called Brahman. But they have to perform like very great penances. Shramana means they have to strictly perform all the spiritual practices, they have to strictly perform austerities. So that's why Prabhupada quotes this verse, Klesho Adhikataras Tesham, the 12th chapter. The impersonalists, they have to actually struggle hard in order to attain impersonal liberation. But the devotees can easily attain liberation simply by performing devotional service. So next, you can read the translation, 48 verse.
Naked sages who seriously endeavor in spiritual practice, who have raised their semen.
This is the next one, 48-49.
O greatness of mystics, although we are conditioned soul, wandering on the path of fruitive work, we will certainly cross beyond the darkness of this material world simply by hearing your lordship in the association of your devotees. Thus we are always remembering and glorifying the wonderful things you do and the wonderful things you say. We especially recall your enormous pastimes with your confidential conjugal devotees, and how you boldly smile and move about while engaged in such youthful pastimes. My dear Lord, your loving pastimes are bewildering, similar to the activities of ordinary people within this material world.
So in the previous purport, Hridayananda Maharaj writes the same point that Uddhava is pointing out that unlike the impersonalists and meditators, the pure devotees very easily cross over the illusory energy because they are totally attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. The causeless mercy of Krishna is more valuable than millions and billions of years of one's own struggling and straining. One should try to get the Lord's mercy and then everything will become very easy and the path of spiritual realization. And in this age, one can achieve the mercy of Krishna by constantly chanting His holy name. So in the 48th and 49th verse, Uddhava is speaking about the same theme which he spoke in the 46th verse. How simply by hearing and chanting and remembering your pastimes, we condition souls wandering on the path of fruity work. Brahmanta karma vartmasu. And we can very easily, we can very easily cross this dense ocean of ignorance. And then the second 49th verse, he also explains the what is the nature of Krishna's pastimes. Gati utsmitekshana kshveli yan riloka vidambanam. We ecstatically recall your amorous pastimes with your confidential conjugal devotees and how you boldly smile and move about while engaged in such youthful pastimes. And niloka vidambanam, your pastimes are bewilderingly similar to the activities of ordinary people within this material world. Niloka vidambanam. So if we see that Krishna's pastimes appear like human being. He performs human-like pastimes in order to attract the human beings. So usually we get attracted to somebody whom we can relate with. Human form of life is especially meant for self-realization. So in order to attract the human beings to him, so Krishna performs human-like pastimes. But the other, the disadvantage is that somebody may say that ultimately his pastimes, his activities are also like any human being. So why should I accept him as God? So one may actually misunderstand that. So one may say, oh, let us go a little higher. So these human-like pastimes, they are something material, so let us go higher. So impersonalist, instead of getting attracted to human-like pastimes, they try to go higher, but actually they are not going deeper. So one is that, to understand, to mistake a fake gold for real gold, that is illusion. Considering a fake gold for real gold is actually illusion. That means like to consider material sense gratification as happiness, that is actually illusion. And another is that even greater illusion is that to mistake the real gold for fake, that is even a greater illusion. One is that one illusion is that we are attracted to something material sense gratification, but the way to come out of this illusion is that to get attracted to Krishna's pastimes. But when you consider Krishna's pastimes as illusion, then we go deeper into illusion. So that is the mistake of the, that's why the, in one sense, the impersonalist who considers Krishna's pastimes to be illusory, they are in a worse situation than the karmis who are engaged in material sense gratification. Because they are considering the real solution to come out of the illusion to be illusion. So therefore they are in deeper illusion. So in the purport, Hridayan Maharaj talks about the naked yogis, which was mentioned in the previous verse, with the devotees engaged in hearing and chanting. And then he explains that Uddhava is begging the Lord for the mercy of his Sudarshan Chakra, whose effulgence is represented by the process of remembering and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. And one who absorbs himself in the incomparable bliss of thinking of the Lord's abode easily becomes free from all lamentation, illusion and fear. Can you do that translation, last verse?
Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Prithvi, her address, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Devaki, began to reply confidently to his dear unallied servant Uddhava.
We'll go to the next chapter. So now Krishna starts speaking. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Yad Atama Mahabhaga,
Yad Atama Mahabhaga,
Tachikirshitam Eva Me,
Tachikirshitam Eva Me,
Brahma Bhavo Lokapala,
Brahma Bhavo Lokapala,
Swarvasam Me Bikankshinah,
Swarvasam Me Bikankshinah.
So here Krishna is actually acknowledging Uddhava that you have actually understood my desire to return to the spiritual world, and all the demigods are actually praying for me to actually come to their resume my residence in Vaikuntha. So Kadyan Maharaj talks in the purport about the residence of Vishnu and other demigods. So Vishnu is sometimes counted among the demigods, but Vishnu is actually beyond this material world. It's like in that in the Prithu Maharaj section, when described that after Prithu Maharaj, at one point Lord Vishnu, he puts his hand on the shoulder of Garuda, and he is stumbling to get, in order, he was falling down, so therefore in order to get a balance, he actually puts his hand on the shoulder of Garuda. So there Prabhupada writes that like when Prithu Maharaj offered beautiful prayers, by those prayers Lord became so captivated that usually when the demigods come to this world, they would not touch their feet to the ground. And Vishnu is not a demigod, but because he is playing the role of a demigod in charge of the maintenance, so he would also follow the normal behavior of the demigod by not touching his foot to the ground. But by seeing the beautiful prayers of the Prithu Maharaj, he actually he got so captivated, he actually touched his feet to the ground. Because he was not used to that, he stumbled, so therefore he actually put his hand on the Garuda shoulder. So Prabhupada says in the connection also that Vishnu is not one of the demigods, but he follows normally the behavior of the demigods. So here he says that although Vishnu is sometimes counted among the demigods, his abode is in Vaikuntha, the spiritual sky. And the next paragraph he talks about, he gives a comparison of Vishnu with the demigods. The demigods are under the influence of the potency of Maya, but Vishnu is always the supreme controller of Maya. And then he says, ultimately Krishna is the source of even Vishnu. Next verse. Maya nishpaditam hyatra,
Maya nishpaditam hyatra,
Deva karyam asheshatah,
Deva karyam asheshatah,
Yadartam avatirnoham,
Yadartam avatirnoham,
Amshena brahmanartitah,
Amshena brahmanartitah.
Answering the prayer of Lord Brahma, I descended with his water. Along with my preliminary portion, Lord Baldeva and performed various activities on behalf of the demigods. I have now completed my mission here.
So Krishna is saying that I have completed my mission fully. Avatirnoham amshena asheshataha means without anything remaining, I have completely fulfilled the mission of the demigods, deva karyam. Whatever the demigods requested, I perfectly executed all the requests completely. Maya nishpaditam. And I had appeared along with Balram, and I completely fulfilled the mission. So if you see, like many times the atheistic people, they say that, oh, where is your God? We can't see the God here. But actually, the fact that we are not able to see the God, that shows actually the the perfect management of Krishna. It is said, the perfect manager is one that who manages in such a way that nobody comes to know that who is the manager. Means like, usually, this is not experience in managing, like, somebody is in anxiety or this one, they understand, okay, he is the manager. usually is. But perfect management is such that nobody comes to know that who is actually managing. Like sometimes in our temple, there were four temple presidents, and every 3 months one temple president, another temple president would come, and then the turn would change. But nobody would know who is actually the temple president, because everything, the systems are set up and it's going on nicely. So Krishna, usually we are not able to see the Supreme Lord, because he is managing the universe so nicely that he has appointed so many demigods that they are actually managing so perfectly that he remains invisible. So that shows actually the supreme management of Krishna. But sometimes when there is an emergency, Krishna personally comes. So like one class I was hearing that in the time of crisis, those who are objects of prayer, they become the subjects of prayer. The demigods are usually objects of prayer by the people of this world. But at the time of crisis, those objects of prayer, they become the subject of prayer and they pray to the Supreme Lord. It's like Hiranyakashipu, he offered such beautiful prayers to Lord Brahma. He was the object of prayer of Hiranyakashipu. And later he created so much of atrocities, he became the subject of prayer, he offered prayers to Narasingadev. So, and one may get a question, actually Krishna is mentioning here, Maya Nishpaditam, I have completely accomplished the request of the demigods. One may say that if Krishna has perfectly accomplished everything, because he has removed the burden of the earth, of the demoniac population, but now after that Kali Yuga is going to start. Kali Yuga means age of quarrel and hypocrisy. But if you read the purport in the the 30th chapter, so Krishna performed this Mausha Leela in order to increase adharma so that the Kali Yuga can begin. People would get bewildered and then they would think him to be an ordinary person so that the Kali Yuga can begin. So one may say, if Krishna has appeared this world in order to, Krishna appeared in this world in order to remove the, in order to establish religion, and in order to remove the demonic population, then after, why he performed his Mausha Leela in such a way so that Kali Yuga can begin, that means like, more irreligion can increase. So the understanding is that just like there is disorder, when there is disorder or when there is disturbance in the universal order, Krishna appears to correct that disturbance. When there is disturbance in the universal order, which is created by the demons, Krishna appears to actually correct that disturbance created by the demons. But coming of Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is a disorder, but this is the universal order. This disorder is actually created by Krishna for the actually so that the conditioned souls who are rebellious, they get more miseries, they get more problems. So one, when there is disturbance in the universal system, Krishna appears to correct that disturbance. This disturbance was created by the demoniac population, so Krishna appeared to correct. But coming of Kali Yuga, that itself is the universal order. The coming of the four Yuga, that itself is the universal order. So because that is the normal course of the ages should degrade. So therefore Krishna performs this motion lila so that Kali Yuga can begin. Irreligion will increase. And that is for the facilitate the conditioned souls who are having that sinful karma so that they can actually take birth in Kali Yuga and then gradually things will improve like that. Next verse. Kulam vai shapa nirdagdam.
Kulam vai shapa nirdagdam.
Nangshyat anyonya vigrahat.
Nangshyat anyonya vigrahat.
Samudra saptamehena.
Samudra saptamehena.
Purimcha plava yishyati.
Purimcha plava yishyati.
Now due to the Brahmas curse, the Yadu dynasty will certainly perish by fighting among themselves. And on the seventh day from today, the ocean will rise up and under this city of Dwarka.
So Krishna is confirming that that Yadu dynasty will actually fight among themselves, and ocean will actually rise up and inundate the city of Dwarka. So again, it is explained that Yadu dynasty and Dwarka, they are not actually destroyed by Krishna, but they were merely removed from the vision of the world through the curse of the Brahmanas. Nevertheless, all external approaches to this transcendental city, Dwaraka, were covered by the ocean, and thus the Lord's abode remains inaccessible to foolish persons in Kali Yuga, as will be described later in this canto. Next verse. Yarhyevayam mayatyakto lokoyam nashtamangalah bhavishyat achirat sadho kalinapi nirakritah.
O saintly Uddhav, in the near future I will abandon this earth. Then being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all evil.
So here, he is telling about his own disappearance in the near future and the starting of Kali Yuga. Hridayananda Maharaj writes, the result of not recognizing the supreme position of Krishna is actually mental concoction. When a person does not recognize the supreme position of Krishna, then such a person gets trapped in mental concoction or mental speculation. Such people remain totally in ignorance about the most fundamental issues of human life, namely, who am I, where have I come from, where am I going, what is my goal, and what is God. And then he says, who are the people who take birth in Kali Yuga? When the eternal soul is bereft of the constitutional pleasure that comes from loving service to the Lord, he is overwhelmed and bewildered by material nature, and he helplessly chases after material sense gratification, thinking that one material object is good and another bad. Thus he derives no peace or pleasure, is in constant anxiety, and is repeatedly thrashed by the cruel laws of nature in the form of birth, death, old age and disease. And Kali Yuga is the epitome of misfortune. And Krishna will say in the next verse, he will tell to Uddhava, that you must actually avoid Kali Yuga. You must not remain in Kali Yuga. And Hridayananda Maharaj says, this instruction of Krishna to Uddhava, this is instruction for all of us also, that we should not remain in Kali Yuga. Those of us who have already taken birth in Kali Yuga should also heed this advice of Krishna and immediately take all necessary steps to go back to the Lord's eternal abode for a blissful life. Next verse. Navastavyam tvayaiveha
Navastavyam tvayaiveha
Mayatyakte mahitale
Mayatyakte mahitale
Jano abhadra ruchirbhadra
Jano abhadra ruchirbhadra
Bhavishyati kalau yuge
Bhavishyati kalau yuge.
My dear Uddhava, you should not remain here on the earth. Once I have abandoned this world, my dear Jinnu, you must think this. But in Kaliyuga, the people will be addicted to all kinds of sinful activities. Therefore, do not stay there.
So he is saying the nature of Kali Yuga is that nature of Kali Yuga people is they are abhadra ruchi. Abhadra ruchi means they are addicted to sinful activities. So therefore, na vastavyam, you should not remain in Kali Yuga any longer. Mayatyakti mahitale. Mayatyakti mahitale. After I leave from this world, you should not remain here on the earth. So Hridayananda Maharaj writes, actually, one should not remain anywhere in the material world during any age. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord advises all living entities that they should never remain anywhere within the material world during any age. Therefore, every living being should take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga to understand the overall useless nature of the material world and surrender himself at the lotus feet of Krishna. So he's giving a, extending that. It's not that, oh, maybe in Satyayuga we can live in maybe heavenly planet or something. So just Kali Yuga is actually, we should understand the overall useless nature of the material world. Father, Kali Yuga is more helpful. Because in other yugas, maybe miseries may not be so prominent. So we should, when we read the purports, we should try to collect those gems, certain sentences, certain points which are actually gems, that we should try to collect that and maybe mark that when we are reading. Tvam tu sarvam parityajya,
tvam tu sarvam parityajya,
sneham svajana bandushu,
sneham svajana bandushu,
maya veshya manasamyak,
maya veshya manasamyak,
samadrik vicharasvagam,
samadrik vicharasvagam.
So I will describe this purport and then we will end. So here what Krishna is saying is that you should give up all the material attachment, tvam tu sarvam parityajya, material attachment towards svajana bandushu, personal friends and relatives. And then what you should do, mai aveshya, you should fix your mind upon me. And then being conscious of me, you should have equal vision, samadruk. And with that equal vision, vicharasvagam, you should wander, you may wander throughout the earth. So this is the instruction which Krishna is giving to Uddhava here. So in this particular verse, Vishnu Chakotakur gives the thoughts of Krishna when Krishna is speaking this verse to Uddhava. So the Lord was thinking that when I was present in this world, I gave mercy to so many people. I went to Sutala Loka and gave mercy to Bali Maharaj. It is described that when did Krishna go to Sutala Loka? When in order to, like, when Devaki, her six sons were actually killed by Kamsa. So those six sons were actually in the planet of Sutala Loka. So Krishna descended to the Sutala Loka planet in order to get back those sons. So at that time Krishna gave mercy to Bali Maharaj. And Krishna went to heavenly planets in order to give mercy to the residents of heavenly planets. After killing Bhaumasur, he went to hand over the earrings of Aditi. And Krishna went to places like Mithila and gave his association to Bahula Ashwan Shrutadev. And Krishna gave his association to the Mathura Vasis, Vrindavan Vasis and Dwarka Vasis. And Krishna was feeling, that I also gave my association to the Mahavishnu and his associates. So in this way, I gave mercy to my so many people, I gave my personal association to so many people, but the Naranarayan Rishi and the other sages, who are great Paramahamsas living in Badrikashram, they were very enthusiastic to see me, but I could never give my association to them. Because I was busy, engaged in so many activities, going and coming from different places, I could never go to Badrikashram and give my association to them. But now the time for my disappearance that has come. 125 years have passed. So I have to go back to the spiritual world. Now, but because they are very eager, so you go there because you are non-different from me and you are above the three modes of material nature, and because you are non-different from me, you go to them and I will impart transcendental knowledge unto you. You share that same transcendental knowledge to the sages of Badrika Ashram. And by hearing transcendental knowledge from you, they will get the experience, the same personal association of me. So with that intention, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. So Udayan Maharaj says that, in this way, Uddhava can teach them the method of rendering loving devotional service to my lotus feet. Such loving devotional service rendered to me is the most valuable treasure, and by hearing such knowledge, the desires of the great sages will be completely fulfilled. So then he writes a beautiful in the 509th page purport. Like sometimes a pure devotee, because of being busily engaged in devotional service, they may appear to forget Krishna. But even if they appear to forget Krishna, that those devotees will always be protected by Krishna. So like sometimes a devotee may die in an accident or something like that. But because they have rendered devotional service, that Krishna will never forget them. Even if such a devotee should suddenly give up his life while neglecting to fix his mind intensely on me, such a devotee's loving feelings are so powerful that they afford him all protection. Even if there is a temporary moment of forgetfulness, such devotion will bring the devotee to my lotus feet, which are beyond the vision of ordinary. Then he writes a beautiful paragraph. Hridayan Maharaj brings the same point to the level of ISKCON devotees, the 510th page. He says that many devotees, they may be dizzy, they may be busy distributing Prabhupada's books to show compassion to other people. But such devotees, because of doing like heavy labor, they are, in order to execute the tremendous task of spreading Krishna consciousness, the devotees are tirelessly laboring day and night. Although superficially, such busy devotees may occasionally not think directly of the lotus feet of Krishna, such loving devotion will undoubtedly take them back to Krishna's lotus feet, and being pleased by their service, the Lord Himself will again arouse their unflinching meditation upon His personal form. So He is explaining this point. And then finally He says that, He explains the word samadrik, how one should have equal vision. Means like one should see everything as part and parcel of Krishna. This is called as Krishna Sambandha or constitutional relationship with Krishna. Just like before marriage, a boy and girl, they may have certain number of relatives. But just after marriage, because of the connection with that one person, the number of relatives increase from, they almost double, get doubled. So similarly, because of connection with Krishna, a person actually establishes connection with all the living entities. So that is called as Krishna Sambandha. So we'll stop here. Anybody has any questions or comments?
I have a question. There are three parts. First is, why Uddhava was given a special mercy when everybody was close? Second, what happened to all queens? And third, from whatever I concluded, that the love of Krishna in separation is the greatest. Can you a little bit elaborate?
Uddhava was given, said Uddhava is the most trusted devotee of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna actually chose Uddhava. He took all the Yadavas back to the spiritual world. But he left Uddhava because he had so much of faith in Uddhava that he can actually satisfy the sages of Badrika. They were actually looking for Krishna, but Krishna could not give his personal association to them. But he has to send somebody by which they will get the same satisfaction of having the personal association of Krishna. So therefore, Krishna chose Uddhava to do that. And secondly, what do you say? queens of
what happened to queens?
Yeah, queens of Krishna. Queens of Krishna, they remained in Dwaraka. They did not get destroyed. When Arjuna goes to Dwaraka, then Arjuna actually brings the queens of Krishna, because he understands that all the other dynasties have been annihilated. So when he was coming, bringing the queens of Krishna, that time he was defeated by some infidel cowherd man. So actually those infidel cowherd men were actually only Krishna only, he came in the form of the infidel cowherd man in order to, those queens of Krishna, they had a desire to get the same love as the Vrajavasi, so therefore the Krishna only came in order to reciprocate with the
desire. Third one,
that's
now in love for Krishna and separation, it appears to be the greatest, because rather where you are really simply no other options, no other go. But kind for loving Krishna, it appears that sometimes you may tend to forget, you may forget him also.
Yeah, it's a high concept.
Separation, you
know, for us, like, we have to perform sadhana bhakti now. So it is just, yeah, love for Krishna is highest, but we are in the stage of struggling with anartha nivritti, and we have to perform sadhana bhakti. So we gradually come to the stage.
I was coming to this. When the devotees are performing their seva, even they forget Krishna. How do you explain this?
In the sense, like somebody may be, like it may appear that they are direct, somebody is busy in say management, or somebody is busy in, busily engaged in services which may involve some money or different objects. It appear to have forgotten.
Like the form mentioned over there, forgetting the form of the life, not able to fix.
Huh.
But that is the apparent forget.
Yeah. It may appear that he is. Yeah, but in the sense, because he is fixed in the service of the Lord, Krishna never forgets him. And yeah.
Regarding yatras, you mentioned, like the associates we mentioned, like, you know, Sarup Dhamma Goswami, always they never went to Vrindavan, but you know, they were always in with Mahaprabhu. So they never must have felt the need of. But if we have some propensity before Krishna consciousness to like.
Yeah, that is the, in the initially, it's not that we don't condemn them, at least instead of going to other places, they are coming to Yatra. But I'm saying for more serious devotees, I'm saying initially, when you come to Krishna consciousness, we definitely encourage people at least in the form of like, come for a good outing, we take them, we give other experience, swimming and so many other things. Because people are not only interested, they're just coming to holy place just for Krishna or Harikatha or something. They want to go out, they want to have a travel somewhere, etc. So initially we come with that, that's all right. But I'm talking about from after some time spending years in Krishna consciousness. So they may go on Yatra just to avoid the services or not go to Yatra to avoid the services. But it could be either way. So therefore, the main, from that point of view, I was saying, because like some time back, going through was also saying that there are so many yatras, like previously people would go to Vrindavan at least once in a year or something, now 4 to 5 times they go out to Vrindavan. Because there's a particular service, it is all right, but the point is that one should and go to a pilgrimage or not go to the pilgrimage just to avoid the service. When a person is engaged in the service, that itself is ultimate perfection. One does not have to separately go, leave that service and go to the holy place. Yeah, what is your point, Devdattu?
I have 2 comments and 1 question. One comment is about this. Chaitanya Chambu had 1 question. That during services, we are not prayerful. So how to be prayerful during the service? We asked Dharaniwas to. And Dharaniwas told us that at least pray before the service and after the service. During the service, you may not be able to remember. And regarding Kali Yuga, Bhakti Dev Maharaj said that
by accepting the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very enthusiastically. You should practice in such a way that you will always stay in Kali Yuga and you will create Satya Yuga even in the one square feet. At least do that. But if every devotee does that, then there will be Satya Yuga and vision of Mahaprabhu is complete.
He writes in a book?
I heard his lecture. The question is why Lord is asking them to take bath and purify themselves to counteract the curse. But still the curse comes. So even after Lord says that you take bath and then, to counteract it, but the curse still comes. What is the purpose?
Yeah, so Lord is actually externally telling that we should, the ultimate purpose is he wants Yadu dynasty to disappear from this world. And he wants to, and he just telling externally that, oh, we, in order to avoid the curse, we should go to Prabhashetra.
Okay.
He's telling that externally, but internally that he wants that the dynasty to get annihilated by the curse of the Brahmanas. That's why he's taking them away.
So is it that just to show people that even if the curse is coming, we should be at least perform some austerity to purify our consciousness so that we are able to face that?
Yes, many times when we perform some sinful activity or happens, even if we beg forgiveness, the reaction may still come. The external, the physical reaction may still come. But we perform, we beg forgiveness or we perform atonement mainly to remove that sinful propensity by which we committed that offense.
Like Parikshit Maharaj also, he got the curse, but his consciousness was like, externally, the Takshaka touched his body, but it is mentioned that he already left for the spiritual.
So the reaction may still come, but the worst reaction, the worst reaction of the sin or an offense is that propensity to do that again. That is the worst reaction. That reaction is actually gone when a person sincerely repents from the heart. But external reaction may still come, may not come. That is a sin. So next week So for the next week questions I will send by email. List of questions whatever you covered from today. So next week we'll have the test 10:30 to 1. So those who I'll send by email the questions. Sometimes I'm able to prepare before the class I will send, otherwise I'll send by Monday or Tuesday. So you can read the questions. I'll send in my email rvd.bhaktikourses. I'll send that. You can give your email addresses. Those who are not registered, you can give their names so that I'll write down your name and email addresses. If somebody doesn't have email address, they can be in touch with another devotee who has that, then they can take from it. One minute. This book also.
Haribol, please sit down for 5 minutes.
There are a few copies, maybe less. I have to know exactly how many.
Prabhuji, I'm sorry. Due to heavy traffic jam, I got stuck actually. I was supposed to reach by 10 o'clock, but I reached by 11 o'clock. So, can I give the exam just now?
Now, because other GFS class will come. Okay. Between 3 and 5, room number 8 will be open. That time you can.
Okay. Room number 8. So, whoever is missed can be.
Between 3 and 5.
Room number 8.
Room number 8, opposite room.
Can I take last week? Didn't come?
Yeah.
you can just.
Only me attend.